The following is presented by Le Sommet Coors Light, celebrity guests, entertainment, and oh, a bit of sports. Every Wednesday night on RDS.
Swinging away from the deep and philosophical, like all the other intros. Welcome back. It is hour number four, but it's a half hour, 20 minutes. This time around, because we got baseball from Yankee Stadium, the Yankees hosting the Blue Jays, along with Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo, Mitch Melnick with you. We'll take you there. And then baseball tonight right here on TSN 690. Well, I know many of you get ready to watch the Bruins and Maple Leafs in Toronto, followed by the Blue Jackets and Capitals in Columbus, waiting for us in Winnipeg.
Pierre LeBrun on Melnick in the Afternoon, brought to you by Morella's Restaurant, with an open kitchen concept, charcoal fire pit, and a wood-burning pizza oven from Napoli. Route 132 next to Poker Palace.
He joins us every Thursday and Tuesday at this time. How are you, Pierre?
I'm all right.
Yeah, you got an off day in Winnipeg.
Two back-to-back, actually.
Did you find something to do?
I just watch hockey is what you do, especially in the first round. So right after I'm done with you guys, I'm going to join up with Frank Zarabelli and Darren Dreger, and we're going to go watch the two games tonight, and I'll order myself a kale salad, and Bob's your uncle.
Yeah, kale salad for LeBrun. I don't think that's on the menu that you'll be holding. Let me ask you first off, before I get to if you're a fan and have been a longtime fan of the Winnipeg Jets, you got to read Pierre's piece in The Athletic. Pierre, of course, with the TSN RDS and The Athletic, and with us, as I mentioned, every Thursday and Tuesday. Pierre McGuire mentioned this in the last hour. A lot of us are wondering the same thing. In light of the suspension that Drew Doughty received for his hit last night, Kucherov, the hit on Vatanen, Could you explain, if you can, what the splitting of the hairs might be and why there's a suspension for Doughty but not for Kucherov?
Yeah, I think the splitting of the hairs is that they felt that Doughty's hit was the head was the first point of contact. And if you look at it very closely, it's close, but if you look at Kucherov, there's chest first. And I think at the end of the day, that's the difference, is that they deemed the Kucherov hit as a clean hit by definition, even though it's certainly looked dangerous. So that was the difference between the two. I wondered how they would handle it, but I have to say that probably if I'm in their shoes, if you really slow it down, I think I feel the same way about it.
Yeah, Vatanen definitely out of game five. Another topic today around the league in the aftermath of the sweep by San Jose over Anaheim is what do the Ducks do now as an organization with all those veteran guys under contract?
It's a fair question. I mean, Bob Murray, as he always does every year, will take some time here and decompress and deliberate. They're an interesting team because they draft and develop like few others, so they still got lots more coming through the pipeline. But they do have some expensive aging core players as well. And so, for example, you know, Corey Perry now has had a couple of down years in a row. He's 32 years old. He's got another 3 years after this year at $8.6 million a year cap hit. And, you know, I'm not singling him out over others for any particular reason, but I'm just saying, you know, is this the summer where the Ducks go to one or two of their veterans and say, well, you know, we need to get younger here? I don't know. I think that we won't know that answer until GM Bob Murray's done decompressing and deciding what has to happen next year. Some wonderful pieces to keep going here with, obviously. I mean, from Raquel to Silverberg to Lindholm to Montour to John Gibson and goal. It's not panic time. But
yeah, Cam Fowler.
Cam Fowler and Jacob Larson hasn't hit the NHL club yet. He's going to be a special player. Sam Steele is a prospect. There's lots there to work with. The question is, you know, they're still locked in long-term with Perry, Getzlaff, Kessler. I don't think Kessler was ever healthy this year. I just don't think his hip was right. So that's another thing to keep an eye on. So there's some questions for sure as to how they massage this going forward, no question about it.
Do you think Randy Carlyle is in trouble at all?
I don't get that sense at this point. I haven't made a call out there yet. The next day, I always feel like you should wait a couple of days. But, I haven't heard any evidence that he would be.
And by the way, 2 days ago, we were wondering about Pascal Vincent as a candidate to coach in either Montreal as a new assistant or to head coach to be the head coach at Laval. And we were wondering about his contract status. And true to his word, Pierre LeBrun got back to me prior to the face-off of the game that he was working. And Pascal Vincent has one more year left on his contract. Thank you very much, Monsieur LeBrun.
No worries. Your wish is my command or something like that.
Anything you guys want to ask Pierre that he could use, I don't know, about 45 minutes to look up?
Yeah, well, this is a bit more speculative, but we're kind of expecting, or at least I'm expecting news about a potential change in the Canadiens coaching staff, Pierre, one of the assistants. We all found it weird that Claude Julien didn't bring in one of his so-called own guys to serve as an assistant. We know how bad the penalty killing was last year for the Canadiens, so kind of looking at maybe a change being made. Would this be the time frame where you would make that particular change if there's one to be made among an assistant coach? Would you do it sometime in late April, early May? Would you do it in June? What would be the quote-unquote
honestly,
right time?
It's a good question for sure, Rod. It really varies from late April to the draft in June. That's the two-month window, and from team to team, it varies on who they're looking at. Because don't forget that with each passing round, there are sometimes changes within coaching staffs around the league, and guys suddenly become available. I'll tell you one guy that I don't know why this has happened, and I'm not suggesting that the Canadiens would have any interest in him, but I'm just sort of, it's funny that you mentioned this because I was thinking about him today because I interviewed him for this Jets piece that I wrote today. But it's weird how Paul McLean has just sort of gone under the radar. You know, he didn't work this year. He was on the Anaheim staff last year, and his contract expired. He parted ways. I mean, this guy won the Jack Adams in 2013, and it just kind of befuddles me that he hasn't gotten a shot since then. And at the very least, you would think a staff could use him as an associate coach.
The fat, bug-eyed walrus?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I'm just throwing that out there. It's weird how some guys sometimes, it's such a tight league in terms of very few jobs, and sometimes guys just suddenly go by the wayside, and I've always been a big fan of his.
There's some younger fans who probably don't understand or didn't realize there is a connection between Paul McLean and the Winnipeg Jets. Let's get, before we run short of time, because we are a little tight with the ball game coming up, historically, the Winnipeg Jets are about, it seems, they're about to do something they've never done before, and of course the expectation level is much deeper than that. What an interesting collection of former Jets that you rounded up for this piece, Peter.
Yeah, well, Paul McLean, of course, played on the same line as Dale Hawerchuk for many years, and in fact, assisted on Dale Hawerchuk's goal in the Game 6 victory over Calgary 31 years ago on April 16th, 1987. And you're wondering, why am I bringing that up? Because that is the last time that fans in this city have celebrated a series victory in the NHL playoffs. 31 years ago and 4 days tomorrow. And even Paul McLean had forgotten, to some degree, the exact math of all that. But once we got into it, it brought back some wonderful memories for him. And for Dale Hawerchuk, whom I spoke with, and Eddie O., John Paddock, who was the GM when the team left in 96, the one thing that you notice from a lot of these guys when you talk to them, Mitch, is how much this city has left, still has a place in their heart. I mean, Ed Olczyk, twice a Jet, talked about that. And, you know, somewhat emotionally talked about how during his battle with cancer this year that, you know, Mark Chipman, the chairman of the Jets, and Kevin Cheveldayoff, the GM, head coach Paul Maurice, and assistant GM Craig Eisinger all kept in touch with him and wished him the best. And so, for all kinds of different reasons, anyone that's ever been connected to the Jets seems to be so excited right now that this could really happen, that they could win a series, and who knows beyond that. And I think it's kind of palpable. They really are sort of, you know, Vegas is the, you know, the best story. But if you're looking for an emotional connection, the whole Winnipeg thing is pretty obvious right now around the league.
And what about where you are? Like, what is, I know they got a series to take care of first, but what would you say, you know, hanging out there for more than a couple of days now, that what the fans expect out of this particular team right now?
Yeah, I guess I would say, and it's very anecdotal from people stalking me in the street and talking to me about their team. Like, I mean, again, it's been 31 years since they've even seen their team go into the second round. And, you know, the actual Thrashers Jets organization, which is separate for record-keeping purposes and the previous Jets Coyotes, they've never even won a playoff series. They win a playoff game till last week. But it's interesting. The incredible enthusiasm and passion for the team is juxtaposed against this, I think, the real lack of confidence among some Jets fans that something bad's going to happen out of nowhere. And that's what happens when you have a market that hasn't seen a lot of winning. I mean, in the 1980s, when they had some amazing teams centered around Dale Hawerchuk, they won two playoff series in the 15 years of their first NHL existence. Two playoff series. They lost to Gretzky. Well, they lost. Gretzky wasn't there the last time, but they lost to the Dynasty Oilers six times in 8 years during the 80s.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that was it. You want to get out of the Smythe division, you got to beat them. And so it's not just that they lost their team for so long and that the team they inherited was the old Thrashers that had no success. But even when they had a good team, they didn't have that much success. So overall, when you wrap it all up together, this is a market that's just ready to explode if they can have any measure of a long run here this spring. And you can really feel it in the streets.
Finishing up with Pierre LeBrun on site in Winnipeg. Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. We're going to Yankee Stadium in about 10 minutes, about an hour ago.
It's the death of heavy hockey, if you ask me. I talked about this on Ottawa radio this morning. St. Louis never made the playoffs. They were the architects of heavy hockey. Los Angeles Kings got swept. Heavy hockey team. Anaheim Ducks got swept. Heavy hockey team. The one team that used to be heavy and transitioned out of it, San Jose. And you see where they are. The Bruins used to be heavy. They transitioned out of it. Look where they are.
Hard to argue with that, huh, Pierre?
Yeah, it's absolutely true. And you know, I've had those conversations with Doug Wilson throughout the year about the Sharks that, you know, they went into this year, and I think we talked about this 2 days ago, but, you know, they did not have high expectations. They always have a certain expectation because of the Sharks and they've established that culture. But this was deemed a transition year where guys like Timo Meier and Chris Tierney and Kevin LeBanc, you know, Sorensen now having a great playoff, all these kids were going to get a bigger role. Like the team was changing. And there's no question after they lost to Pittsburgh 2 years ago in the Cup Final that the Sharks, who were an older team then, made a conscious decision of trying to get younger, but more importantly, to Pierre's point, trying to get faster. Because I think they felt they really got outskated by the Pittsburgh Penguins in that Cup Final. So, again, kudos to the Sharks. You know, I'm the how many years I've talked about the Sharks on your show, Mitch? They're an amazing story. The way they get things done out there.
You know what Mitch Gallo's dream Stanley Cup Final matchup is? Take a guess.
Well, Toronto, obviously.
No, that's so passe. Let them know.
Oh, well, we're talking about reasons to cheer for teams, and I just said that I would love to see Ovechkin against Joe Thornton because those are two players that I would really like to see lift the Stanley Cup over their head in June.
Right. Yeah, well, listen, Ovechkin would take at least what Joe Thornton's already had, which is a trip to the Cup Final. I mean, that's really amazing, a player of his caliber who has played well in the playoffs. I mean, Ovechkin's numbers tell the tale that he's never gotten out of the second round. Isn't that crazy?
It's nuts.
I mean, the Sharks have had a trip to the Cup Final and three or four trips to the conference finals. So they've gone a lot deeper. The Caps, it's crazy. And, of course, they're in tough right now against Columbus.
And we'll let you go and join your TSN teammates and enjoy that kale salad. Enjoy the games. Have a terrific weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Right on, guys. Right on. See you
Thank
later.
You. Bye-bye.
Here's I am. Pull me close. Try and understand. Desire is hunger, is the fire I breathe. Love is a banquet on which we feed.
Isn't it nice of Bruce Springsteen to give Patti Smith this song? He started it, she finished it, and turned it into a smash hit. Released 40 years ago today. The Lost 80s Bands Live. We never gave you the answer to the question. I know we hate keeping you waiting. The question again concerning Well, Sidney Crosby broke Mario's career playoff points mark last night in the win over Philadelphia.
Yeah, Chris Letang in the same game tied the record for points as a defenseman in the playoffs with the Penguins. And the answer, with 72 points, he tied Larry Murphy.
And the first one through with the correct answer?
Ryan Bordage from Coteau de Lac.
Ryan's going to see a flock of seagulls, men without hats, Wang Chung, Naked Eyes, Animotion, Farrington and Mann. It's Lost 80s Live at Place Belle, September the 28th. Tickets available at evenco.ca. I thought we were going to have a music suite.